Half a million Palestinians are now on the move from the southern Gaza city of Rafah amid fears of an Israeli ground invasion. According to the United Nations, the children, women and men have nowhere safe to go and they live in constant fear of being killed. On top of that, there are dwindling supplies of water in ever-rising temperatures and aid trucks bound for Rafah and other parts of Gaza are coming under increasing attack by Israeli settlers. Such attacks have been condemned by President Michael D. Higgins. In a statement last night, he singled out two attacks on Monday, one at the Tarkumia checkpoint west of Hebron in the occupied West Bank, when a convoy was surrounded by a mob and food packages thrown on the road and bags of grain were ripped open. The second was in Rafah, where a UN vehicle came under attack and a UN staff member was killed and another injured. I've been speaking to Olga Cherevko, spokesperson for OCHA, that's the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Palestine. She's in Rafah. What more could she tell us about that attack on her colleagues?
It's obviously a tragic event, and we're still processing it here. Unfortunately, we do not have sufficient information to make any conclusions at this point. So it will have to wait until we gather all this information and we have everything in place to really comment on this.
What was the vehicle doing? It was clearly marked with United Nations emblems.
It was a UN vehicle that it was on a mission, and yes, unfortunately, we do not know how you know, the specifics of how it was hit and what exactly happened, but we do know that we've lost a colleague and another one was injured.
Has there been an increase in attacks on aid convoys in recent days and weeks?
It's always been very, very kinetic and very, very dangerous for us to operate here. But I can tell you that on a daily basis, when we do go out on missions, you know, and I go personally to the north quite a bit, and north or south, it's just a very fluid environment, and there's a lot of activity happening. So we can be affected at any time. And any minute.
And what aid is on these trucks and is it getting to the people in Rafah and the other parts of Gaza?
Right now, the situation with the aid getting in is particularly dire because of what's happening and our ability to distribute aid is severely impacted, but also to receive aid because the crossings, Kerem Shalom, for example, remains effectively not viable for us to use. We've had to really kind of live day to day with figuring out how much stock we have and how to repurpose it so it goes to the people in the most dire need and so we can maintain the most basic operations. You know, for example, there are only out of 12 bakeries that we had here in the south, only four of them are still running. Because the fuel and the stock of flour is running out rapidly, and we don't have a sustainable and sustained and reliable and predictable flow of aid and fuel into Gaza at the moment.
You're in Rafah, Olga, this morning. What is happening there in terms of the people who are being forced to leave again from whatever home they had set up after being displaced, many of them numbers of times from northern parts of Gaza? What is the situation now with regarding numbers leaving?
I mean, it's horrific, honestly. You know, as of yesterday, we had some half a million people, basically, that who have left Rafah. And it's shocking to be driving on the streets now in Rafah because there are huge plots of land that have emptied completely, and they, you know, just days before they were full of shelters and full of tents and people and children playing, and you know, people have had to pick up all of their things and move again, and a lot of them are moving to areas they are not familiar with, and they're just going into the unknown, you know, and a lot of these areas could be dangerous because there's unexploded ordnance, and some of these areas are agricultural lands. So it's just it's a really dire situation.
Where are they going to? What specific parts of Gaza are they going to? Because it's always been said there's no safe place in Gaza.
Exactly, and there isn't, and we still maintain this. And a lot of them are going into Al-Muwasi area and Khan Yunis, and some of them are going into the middle area. But as you said, there is no safe place in Gaza.
And the weather, because it's very hot in Gaza at the moment, and there's very little cool water available to people fleeing and people living there at the moment as well. Will you talk to us about that, how that adds yet another challenge to an already horrific situation?
Exactly, yes. And the supply of water is extremely challenging to maintain. And we see, when I drive around the streets, sometimes when there's a water truck that comes, just these huge lines of people that queue up for hours and hours and hours for in the heat, as you said. And another element that adds to this is the destruction of infrastructure, of the water infrastructure specifically, and and the consistent denial of allowing supplies, specific equipment parts to maintain this water infrastructure and to repair this water infrastructure to come into Gaza. So all of this kind of creates a massive issue with accessibility to availability of water and access to it for the people.
And as all of this is going on, the people themselves, men, women, children, young children, they're all living with the ongoing terror of strikes from the air, of the terror of a possible ground invasion by Israel. And one can only imagine the psychological terror that they're enduring as well.
Oh, yes. Beyond the physical trauma, beyond the loss of lives, the loss of livelihoods, the loss of homes, loved ones, all of this, the psychological trauma of all of this is immeasurable, I think. And it will stay with the people here for generations.
Olga Cherevko, spokesperson for OCHA, talking to us from Rafah a little earlier this morning.